to the podcast. It's called Parkmanship. I'm Andrew.
I'm Ryan.
And just to go over a little bit of what we're doing with the podcast, the reasons we're starting, the whole reason we got into the national parks, our friendship background and where we want the podcast to go. Ryan, if you want to lead us off on why you got are so interested in the national park system.
Yeah, I went to Yellowstone National Park when I was 9 with family, and that was my first introduction to the national parks. And I was just absolutely fascinated with that whole area. And then a few years down the line, my family started going on regular summer trips to Cape Cod, right near the Cape Cod National Seashore. And that's when I really got into the idea of traveling to a bunch of national parks. I didn't get into it so enthusiastically until probably like 5 years ago. And now that's all I do.
Yeah. Going off that, if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be as interested as I am in the national park system. I think our first trip was to Washington, D.C. together to the National Mall.
We did Saratoga and some of the New York ones beforehand.
Yeah, and then we did our local one, which is Weir Farm.
Yep.
Great sign. Paintbrush is 10 out of 10. I think the future of the podcast is just going to be talking about our adventures, things we've learned, things we want to do in national parks in the future, stuff like that.
For sure.
It's Fat Bear Week in Katmai National Park. They do it every year. It is the celebration of, survival of the fattest. They have a chart on the National Park website for Katmai National Park Preserve in Alaska, where you can pick your bear. I find that really interesting to watch.
I'll be honest, I see a lot of advertisement for this on the National Park social media accounts and the websites, and I haven't really followed it. But all I know about it is that one of the most famous bears is named Otis.
Yes. Yep. This year, I think he's back on the chart here. Yeah, Otis is weighing at 480 pounds, according to their website.
Yeah, I think he's one of the oldest bears still running.
Yep. All right. Let's get into. You have any news you want to share?
Sure. A couple weeks ago, actually September 16th to be exact, Glacier National Park, which is a park we're going to talk about more in the near future on this podcast, released data on their new Going to the Sun Road plan. If you remember, when we were there, they had the ticketed entry to get into the Going to the Sun Road.
Yep.
And I just thought it was interesting that they revealed that 2,354,475 people went into Glacier this year, which compared to 2019, which is the last full year that Glacier was open, there was 2,447,377 guests. So a slight down tick from the last full year, but it's clear that ticketed entry system isn't limiting guests into the park.
That's a lot of people going to Glacier, and it's open from when again? It's July. Nope. Is it July to October?
It depends on the year, but it's either like late June, early July. When they can get the snow out of the way.
Yep. We definitely saw how much construction's going on out there and how they're trying to make the roads better for next year.
Yeah. Their release said that 19% of vehicles at St. Mary's and the West Entrance, the two main entrances to the Going to the Sun Road corridor, 19% of vehicles were turned away for not having a ticket or reservation. So that's a lot of people that were turned away.
You got to do your preparation before you even get to the park. You want to make sure you have a park pass ready to go and a Going to the Sun Road ticket as well. Because you can go in after 5 o'clock, but you really don't get the full experience of driving the road.
Yeah, like I think my main criticism of the whole new entry system is they definitely need better advertising of how it's done.
Correct. I don't think I saw a single sign until we got to, I don't know, the ticketed entry where the park ranger was asking for or going to the Sunroad Pass.
Yeah, they have a huge section in front of each station where they have a bunch of signs for it, but other than that, not really. Or on the websites, it's on the websites too, but not much advertising. They should definitely do a better job of that.
Yes. Yes, they should.
Also, while we were there, we found out how to game the system.
Yes, because you
'Cause,
can buy a, what is it, going to the Sunroad bus
yeah, the
pass?
shuttle ticket,
Yeah, the
which don't
shuttle.
sell as much as the going to the Sunroad tickets, which kind of, if you don't get it in like the first batch that go on sale like 2 months in advance, you have to wait for 2 days prior, and those go on like they're all sold out in
Minutes,
seconds.
yeah, not even minutes, seconds, you're right. Because
Whereas
we
the
had a
shuttle tickets, you can still get access to going to the Sunroad. Those go out in hours.
which is nice because you might not be planning on going to the Sun Road that day. You just kind of you're traveling from St. Mary, you decide to go that way, and you can just buy it before you get it even to the gate.
Exactly. It allows for more spur of the moment decisions.
Yeah, and speaking of Glacier, we're gonna do a little recap. Well, not a little recap. We're gonna go into our recap of our first visit to Glacier National Park this week or this year. We both arrived at different times, so I'll let Ryan explain his route versus my route.
Sure. So this Glacier was one of our two big summer vacations in the parks we did this year.
Correct.
And I went off in late July. I arrived 2 days prior to you, I think.
Yes, yep.
And I just went with my parents. We landed in Spokane, Washington. Spokane, Spokane. How do you pronounce it?
I think it's Spokane. I
Spokane.
think
We landed in Spokane, Washington, and kind of drove a northerly route to Glacier, but we took a 1 day stop in between. We got pretty close to the Canadian border. We saw signs all over the place. A lot of Trump signs as well, too. Definitely Trump country up there.
correct.
And then we stopped at the night in a town called Libby, which on the outside kind of looked a bit run down. But once you like went into like some of these restaurants, they looked like really nice inside, had a lot of great food. And then also in the area there was this hiking area called Gatani Falls, which
Okay.
had a nice swinging bridge over a waterfall and some other great trails that I found interesting. So yeah, we took a the long way to get to Glacier.
I took the I-95, or not, is it I-95? I-90? Trying to see here. Da da da. It was M or 135 across Idaho and then up to Glacier. It was about a 5 hour drive. I did it by myself. I think it's probably the longest drive I've done by myself in a very long time.
Yeah, that's a long drive.
Do not recommend it after being up. So I think I flew into Seattle. I left New York JFK, John F. Kennedy Airport at 8 a.m. Got to Seattle, and then got I think around like 1, and then got to Spokane around 3. Got in the rental car and just drove straight there. Went around, went got to St. Regis in I think it's yeah it's in Montana. Then I went up that way to Glacier around Flathead Lake, through Big Fort, through Hungry Hills. It was definitely an interesting drive because for most of it I didn't have service, so I was just kind of following road signs, and whenever the GPS would punch or kick in. But it was a kind of a smoky drive due to the fires that were out or
Oh
going
yeah,
on.
there were some really bad areas.
Yeah, it was at one point it looked like I was driving into a dust bowl, almost like a scene out of Mad Max, because it was like sunset, and it was just smoke and sun. It was kind of cool. Arrived at Glacier at the Going to the Sun Motor Inn, I believe, right? Or Rising Sun Motor
Inn. Rising Sun Motor Inn.
At like 10 o'clock at night. It was probably the longest time I've been up traveling for a while. definitely worth the drive, though, at night. Did not realize when I was on the Going to the Sun Road how high it was until the next morning, which was our day one together.
You got to see a nice sunset over Lake McDonald on the way, right?
Correct.
Cool.
Yeah, it was a welcome sight after being alone for 5 hours in the car.
For sure.
Yeah.
Also, back to JFK Airport for a second. Did you know? I hate to be like one of the old people from those commercials.
Yeah.
But did you know you can see Gateway National Recreation Area, the Jamaica Bay unit to be specific, while you're taking off from JFK?
Did not know that. That's kind of cool. We've been there.
Yep.
That's another hidden gem, I think, in our area.
For sure.
Yeah. So day one was going to the Sun Road. My first time doing it. Your what? Second time? Third time?
Second time doing it completely, but I did a lot of it, not entirely though, on the like second full day that I was there.
Yep, yep. I really enjoyed Goose Island was our first stop, right?
Yep.
And you just saw the full panorama of
the Rocky Mountains.
The Rocky Mountains. And then from there we descended towards Lake McDonald.
You had to go through Logan Pass first.
Yep. Any Logan Pass was super busy. Got to get there real early to get a parking spot.
Yeah, I went there the first full day I was there. I went there and we woke up at 4:45 to get there, and parking was fine. But like once we got back to our cars, it was chaos.
Yeah, I did not, unfortunately, get to go to Logan's Pass during the day. Logan Pass, sorry. During the day. We did stop later that week I think it was like 10 o'clock at night, trying to spot wildlife. Doing the driving of that on that road it's interesting because there's a mix of cars, drivers on there, people who want to, take it slow, and some people are rushing through it to get to a good parking spot for a good hike.
Yep. And then you always get stuck in bear jams on occasion.
Correct. I do like seeing the red jammers on the road.
That was cool. They're quite big though.
They are big. Terrifying to come around a blind corner and see one right there.
Yeah, especially on some of those cliff sides near Logan Pass.
Yeah, no thank you. I do not. I like the drive from inside the car. We'll not get on the edge and look over the little stone walls. That's your thing.
Oh, it's so much fun. I love to point out to you while you're driving.
Yeah, it's terrifying. Then we went down. Did we stop at any major points that you remember that really stuck out to you?
We did. I forget which one comes first. It's either St. Mary's or Virginia Falls.
We did. Oh God.
And we hiked on St. Mary's Lake.
Yeah, we did. And then we saw a moose in the water.
Yes, that was cool. And I forgot my binoculars. I was quite mad.
Yeah, but it was definitely something moving. Definitely was a moose.
Yeah, I was able to get a crappy picture on my camera, but you can definitely tell it was a moose.
Yeah, we'll post some photos from that hike on our social media once we get it up and running. Definitely a lot of great photos from that hike. Never seen water that crystal clear from a waterfall.
Oh yeah, it was like turquoise, which on like almost unrealistic colors.
Yeah,
how clear it was.
Yeah, yeah, it was something. Then we ended up at Lake McDonald's Lodge for
Lake McDonald
for food and drink. Had my first Huckleberry alcoholic beverage there.
Yep, the spiked Huckleberry lemonade was probably my favorite drink of the trip, so much that I got it at least 5 times.
Correct. I definitely enjoyed it. I did have a Huckleberry margarita at some point at a restaurant, but Huckleberry Lemonade is definitely the way to go if you are in that park. They weren't doing dine-in food due to the pandemic. It was all carry out, but definitely worth eating outside and looking over the lake.
I have to be, great location to sit down and eat. But I have to be honest, I did not enjoy the food so much there. It was kind of like definitely like prepackaged stuff and like fried box stuff.
Yeah.
Like chicken fries were only okay. The Caesar salad was clearly prepackaged. Yeah. And then a lot of their menu was sold out just because they were having troubles bringing stuff in due to, once again, the pandemic.
Yeah, definitely would recommend the drinks because they also have beer there over the food.
Yes. The alcohol was great.
The alcohol was great. We did do some stops on the way to our cabin at what was the name of the cabins again? I forgot the name off the top of my head. Do you remember?
What was it?
I don't remember they're down towards the end of Lake McDonald's.
Yeah.
But they were they had some great views.
Right on the water.
Yeah, they were right on the water.
Seeing weddings and
definitely the same photographer,
like engagement photo shoots, like five a day.
But more than five a day. Yeah, it was definitely the same photographer, just, you know, rotating customers. I did enjoy that little area. There was a diner we stopped at.
Eddie's
is fantastic. Staff's very knowledgeable. Gave us some good hiking tips. Unfortunately, one of them we couldn't go to due to bear activity.
Yeah, there's a lot of trails down due to bear activity.
Yeah. But I will say for the cabin, the only drawback is it was hot. It was really
See, my one drawback was I was stuck in the same room as my parents, who snore a lot. so sleeping was rough.
Yeah. You guys had the fan. I mean, it was fully loaded. It had a kitchen, it had a fridge, one bathroom. You walked outside, you got to see the full lake. From tip to tip, almost. I mean, you couldn't see from tip to
smoke,
tip.
The smoke was too bad to see a clear picture of it.
Yeah, definitely waking up in the morning to the sunrise there, 100% worth it.
Oh yeah. I mean, the time we spent out for the sunset was amazing as well.
Yep.
We didn't get a direct sight on the sunset, but you can see the colors coming from it.
That was our goal, though. Was that week was to catch the sunset at one site at least,
which we did later on.
Yep, which led into our day two, which we decided to do Avalanche Lake hike, which we had to wake up really early for. I think we were up at like 5:30.
No, I think it was more like 6:30 maybe. 6:30. Like compared to my 1:45 wake up, it wasn't that bad.
No, but it was about half hour away from the cabin.
Maybe slightly less.
Yeah. Definitely one of the more popular hike sites.
Oh, for sure. I think it's that. And after the Logan Pass area, it's Avalanche Lake is the most popular area.
Yeah. Definitely worth the hike. Lots of great views up to the lake. Lake was still. You could see the rocks on the bottom. Unnatural clearness in the water, in my opinion. Never seen something that clear. It's like a swimming pool.
I mean, it didn't have that turquoise color that, say, Grinnell Lake had, or some of the areas beyond Lake McDonald had, like the rivers leading into Lake McDonald. But yeah, it was clear.
It had the waterfalls in the background.
Yeah, that's the highlight of the final location is the waterfalls like dropping in from the mountains into Avalanche Lake.
Yep. Definitely would recommend hiking poles. I used a pair.
Mine pair. So
I did forget hiking poles, which we'll get into later because I will definitely recommend them for some of the hikes.
I actually didn't think that this was that strenuous, which surprised me.
Yeah, it was strenuous, but I did like having them.
Like, there wasn't a lot of elevation gain at all.
No. No, there wasn't.
It was just like a flat, like 5.5 mile round trip hike.
Sure. Yep. Which we did with your parents and then got separated at one point, and then somehow beat them down to the rental car.
Yep.
Yep.
Even though we went further on to the back of the lake.
Yep. Definitely recommend that.
Yes, that was a cool area. Not everybody went, but it was just like a nice, not sandy, but pebbly beach area where you can get a closer glimpse of the waterfalls coming from the mountains.
Yep. Definitely recommend that. Definitely pack enough water. You know, I think good rule of thumb is every hiker knows is once half the water is gone, turn back. Yeah, but like for that hike, I think it was a nice starter hike to the larger hike in the week.
For sure. Yeah.
We also, you swam in the river that day, I believe.
That was day one.
Was it day one?
Yeah. Where I just made you pull over on the side of the road and said I had to jump in somewhere.
Yeah, yep. And yep, then you put,
that was day one.
Chilled a beer in the river while you swam.
Yep. That was not as effective as some later places I put the beer in this trip.
Yep. Yep. Then we were at the cabin again that night. Definitely more wedding parties. Yep. Did some walking around Apgar Village.
Yes. I'll be honest, like when I was researching this trip, I totally thought Apgar Village was like outside Glacier National Park's boundaries, but it's like an actual town inside the national park.
Yep.
Which I think is like kind of unique.
Yeah, I don't think there's many like that. And that's the first visitor center you see when you're coming in
from the
west entrance. Because yep. there's a little town right outside the gate with a gas station and a restaurant. But Apgar Village is named after, is inside the park, and the visitor center is also Apgar Visitor Center. I think they have some campsites there for campers and stuff like that.
Yeah, it looks like a pretty big campground.
Yeah. They did have a shop that sold things if you need it, like for bear mace and, you know, hiking sticks or a hat, souvenirs.
They had some good brands for the hiking pole. Should have gotten some.
Yeah, like,
I heard good things about those.
Yeah, I definitely think we'll talk about more hiking gear that I should have had because I came a little ill-prepared for one of our hikes later in the week. We got back to camp back to the cabin that day, and we went to Pole Bridge the next day.
Yeah, which originally we were going to do a larger trip to go to Grant Coeur's Ranch.
Yep.
With another national park site, but I was just way too tired to drive all the way there, so we went for the shorter trip to Pole Bridge.
Yep. Definitely worth it. We got to Pole Bridge. We did hit a little bit of construction. We did learn that Montana construction is you wait for about a half hour, and then you get to go.
I mean, it wasn't that bad in Pole Bridge. It was much worse in certain other places, which yeah. We'll get to.
Yeah. Pole Bridge, we got to the general store there that looks like it was...
Pole Bridge Mercantile.
Yep. Definitely stuck, you know, in what I would call Red Dead Redemption looking era, you know.
It did kind of have that look to it.
Yep. Definitely went there for the bear claws.
Which were delicious.
Correct.
Huckleberry. I had a pizza roll, which was also pretty good. And then I saved one Huckleberry Bear Claw for the next day, which was a great treat.
I got the handmade cinnamon roll, and I believe your mom got the some sort of fruit up there, or berries. I think she got actual huckleberries, right?
I think it was cherries. I think she heard that cherries were really good up there.
Cherries, yep. We went to the... what was the visitor center up there?
It was just a ranger contact station, the Pole Bridge Ranger contact station. And that like kind of leads to some of the more backcountry sections like Kintla Lake and Bowman Lake, which unfortunately we couldn't go to. Like I really would have liked to go to Bowman Lake, which is a little bit closer. Like we definitely could have done it in a day trip. but it was closed due to an oncoming fire.
That there was the Smokey the Bear sign, which I took a photo of, that said fire conditions today, and it just said extreme.
Yep, that's disturbing.
Yep. Global warming is definitely not the national park's friend.
Yeah, I'll be honest, like anytime we drove past a really smoky section was probably the scariest moments of the trip. And it wasn't because I was scared of the fire. I was scared that my plans were going to be canceled for the day.
Yep, correct. It's not a pretty sight to see, beautiful area on fire, because, I think it was like, 80 degrees higher than that day.
Yeah, I would say that. That was the only day where it kind of rained. Like it drizzled for maybe like half an hour.
Yep.
Otherwise, it was completely dry while we were there.
Yep. And then we did the Going to the Sun Road video, where Ryan held up a little handheld camera GoPro thing, and recorded us driving up Going to the Sun Road, which I will upload to YouTube, or you will upload to YouTube once we get that social media set up. And then you did a hike without me that day, because I don't remember what I ended up doing.
I think you were just tired.
Yeah, I think I took a nap. That was
when we got to an actual, like, modern hotel.
Yeah,
at St. Mary Resort, I think that's what it was called.
Yep, on the east, no.
Yeah, it was east side.
East, yep.
So it was right outside the east gate, and it was so close to the east gate that I just decided to walk from the hotel into the park on the side of St. Mary's Lake that was facing away from the park. And so I just walked there as long as I could. And there was an interesting historic ranger station that you could walk up to and look around. Had great views of St. Mary's Lake and the mountains in the background.
Yep.
My only problems were I was by myself. I kind of told you, if I'm not back by 7, I think I left at like 5:30, which was not enough time. I said, if I'm not back by 7, obviously the bears got me, so call for help.
Yep.
So I was rushing myself. And I also got to a point where the trail kind of just narrowed a lot and was just surrounded by huckleberry bushes. And it's like, well, if a bear's going to pop up, it's going to be right here.
Yep.
So being by myself, I just decided to turn around.
Yep. Definitely would have gone next time. I did pass out due to having a cold room that night. We did go to dinner at that hotel right outside the park. It was okay.
It was convenient because it was in the hotel.
Yeah, yeah. I did get a huckleberry lemonade, and I think I also got a huckleberry margarita there, which is very good.
I forget what I got there. I got a huckleberry margarita at like McDonald Lodge, and that was also decent.
I think you got beer. You got a
moose stool? I did get a beer. Yeah, you're right. I did get a beer.
Yeah. Some local beer out there has got some wacky names on it, like Moose Drool.
That was my dad's favorite.
What was your favorite?
Mine was Huck It.
Oh, yep, the huckleberry one.
It was a huckleberry, like Hefeweizen. And it was from a brewery in, I forget the name of the brewery.
Kalispell? No.
No, it wasn't from Kalispell. It was from Missoula. It was a brewing company in Missoula, but I forget what it was called.
Yep.
It was really good.
Yeah. Day 4 was the big hike.
Yeah. That was Grinnell. Another early wake up.
Yep. Grinnell Glacier.
Which is in the Many Glacier section of Glacier, which is away from the Going to the Sun Road district. Like, it seems like it's about like a 30-minute drive from the Going to the Sun Road district, or the St. Mary's district. But we ran into some issues.
Yeah. Construction. Waited, I don't know. How long did we wait?
I would say like just waiting, not the actual drive itself, just waiting. Like 20 minutes on the way in.
Yeah.
It wasn't bad on the way in, because we were probably stuck in traffic at like 6:30, I want to say, maybe.
Yeah, that sounds about
maybe
right.
Maybe earlier.
I drove myself, your dad, and you into the park in my rental car, which was definitely not made for the roads that were under construction.
Yep, the bumpy, gravelly, very dusty roads.
Yeah, I had a sedan, and it couldn't see much due to dust. But when we did get a very good parking spot at
the trailhead.
Yeah, the trailhead.
Like right there, it was perfect. Yeah.
Speaking of the trailhead, what was the first thing we saw on the trail?
So, speaking of how I was saying, like, I was nervous when I saw the fires because it would ruin my plans for the day. I was really nervous of seeing a bear with you guys because I was nervous you guys would bail on me. And what is the first thing we do? We walk into a black bear
right out
like 10, 15 feet away from us. Yeah,
10, 15 feet on the trail. You know, but they, you had your bear mace. I came ill prepared, didn't have bear mace.
It also wasn't interested in us at all. It was busy eating roots.
Yeah, it was definitely, you know, getting ready for the winter months. But yeah, we started off the day pretty on level ground, hit Lake Josephine, where I got some pretty cool shots of the boat on the water and the water being turquoise.
I hate to tell you, buddy, but I'm seeing that same exact photo all over the place.
Yeah,
I showed you that outside online photo that's very similar.
Yeah.
Pretty sure I saw like a recreation.gov. Somewhere else I saw the same exact picture.
Yeah.
Slightly different than yours, both of those. But
my biggest question is, how did they get the boat up there?
That's a good question.
it's a question
we should have asked. Someone definitely knew the answer there.
Yeah, 100%. I think another great call out on that hike is it is a long hike. It's one of the most strenuous I think I've done ever.
I was fine.
Yeah, you're more of a hike fanatic than I am. I enjoy the views. I enjoy taking photos.
I think it was about like 12 miles and probably like 1200 maybe feet of elevation gain.
That sounds about right. Yeah, that sounds exactly right. Definitely one of the coolest hikes I've been on.
For sure.
I got
to walk past multiple lakes, including Lower Grinnell Lake, which was one of those really turquoise colored lakes.
Yep. Definitely unreal getting higher and higher above it.
Mm-hmm.
Not as many foot traffic going up, I don't think. We've ran into a family and a couples going up.
Well, I think we were like the second or third group on the trail.
Yeah.
And then unfortunately we were slower. There were some members of our hiking group that were slower to the point where other people passed us.
Yeah. I mean, you definitely don't want to rush yourself up that one, because you'll get to a point where you're like, oh, that looks, you know, it's not that far. And then you got to do a ton of switchbacks, you know. I think my favorite part on the way up on the hike was the runoff incident. On the hike, I want to say, I don't know, 3-4 miles in maybe? There was this...
Yeah, that's right.
There was a part of the hike where it was runoff from the glacier. So it was like downpour. It was basically a waterfall, glacial cold ice water. And Ryan and his dad went around it. And my confidence was I could get around it, right? I got up there and just gave up and walked through the waterfall. It was very cold, but very refreshing.
It was kind of hard to completely miss that one. Like, I got some spray on me, but you just went straight into the water.
Oh, yeah. I just gave up and accepted my fate at that point. We saw a marmot on the way. Was it on the way up or way down? Way down.
I think we saw multiple marmots.
Yeah.
But on the way down, there was that one that just hung around.
Yeah. He was half white, half brown.
Yep.
Looks like he was getting rid of his coat or changing his coat.
I also saw a ptarmigan on the way up, which you did not see. And I was surprised by how camouflaged those guys are. Like, they are kind of tough to see. They live up to the hype.
Yep. That's one of the animals you wanted to really see on the trip. You had a list.
Yep.
We didn't see sheep when we got up there. I know people were talking about they saw the
other people near us said they saw it, and we did see bighorn sheep droppings.
Yeah, we did.
So they were there.
Yep. And then we got to Grinnell Glacier, the end of the hike.
Yeah, which for me was a bucket list item. Always wanted to get up close in person to a glacier.
Yep, before they're gone, which is, you know, soon.
Yeah, like this trip, like, definitely just shows you the effects of climate change in person. Between that and the wildfires, it was really disturbing.
It was like 65 degrees on top of, you know, the glacier. It was a lot warmer than I expected to be, you know, up there. Because down below it was like 85, 90 when we got back.
I think, but I wore a sweater most of the hike.
I just wore one of my Eddie Bauer, like, t-shirts that were good for hiking.
Yeah, I wore my merino wool sweater.
Big fan of that.
That is, like, the best material for hiking.
Yep, I got merino wool socks, don't forget, with Glacier National Park on them.
I remember that.
Yep.
Good choice.
It was a good choice. My worst decision this trip was not having my own pair of hiking sticks for this hike. Definitely recommend hiking sticks for our next hike up there. Definitely want to go back.
For sure. I used mine that time.
Yeah.
I think I was well prepared. The only time I ever needed something on this trip that I didn't have was the first couple of days, I think, just from being in higher altitude for the first time. My eyes and lips got burned from the sun or the smoke. I don't know what it was.
Burned pretty easily, though.
And I brought sunglasses, just wasn't wearing them. But I didn't have lip balm because I don't normally use that. So, yeah, along the way, I had to buy lip balm to help to assist me.
You do burn pretty easily, as I said.
I brought tons of sunscreen with me.
Yeah, I got a farmer's
lip balm.
I got a farmer's tan around my watch. But someone wanted to try and go swimming in the glacial water. How did that go?
It did not go well. I was determined to get in the water. That's all I wanted to do, was get in the water.
Yep.
I got to my knees and then realized going any further, it just wasn't going to happen.
No, it was not.
No. but here is where I actually stuck my beer in the water again. This time it worked pretty well as a cooling device.
Yeah.
It was only in there for like 5 minutes. And
I was going to say, yeah.
Pretty cold already.
Yeah. It was very cold. We did put the can back in the bag. You don't want to leave your trash anywhere in, you know, national parks.
No trace, for sure.
Yep, leave no trace. Very big. Hike down was a lot easier. We did see a lot more people, a lot of unprepared people. I remember distinctively running to a group of girls who had a single water bottle and were planning to go swimming in Grinnell Glacier. They were definitely ill prepared for what I think was a strenuous hike.
on trails like these, you want to bring the 10 essentials. If you don't know what those are, just look those up.
Yep. It was something. My feet hurt for 3 days after that hike.
I was ready to go again once we got down, to be honest.
Yeah, you did the St. Mary's Lake Loop.
That was the next day. We got down. I just wanted to have a drink. And then we got into the hotel rooms early, so I wanted to check out the hotel rooms because we stayed at the Many Glacier Hotel, which is one of the most famous hotels in the country.
Yep. Definitely an interesting experience. Definitely would recommend it for anyone who's staying out there.
Oh, for sure. If you can get a room, please go to Met Glacier. That was my favorite hotel or lodge that we stayed in. Although I thought we were pretty lucky with the places we were able to stay throughout the trip.
Yeah. There were some of the most scenic places I've stayed in since our trip abroad, I think.
For sure. I don't think we've mentioned enough. I mean, we briefly mentioned it, the Rising Sun Motor Inn, But that was, I really liked that one as well. I know you were only there for one night. I was there for two. And I just thought that was in a great location. Tons of wildlife around, like a grizzly bear literally ran past us in the parking lot of the motor. And
can't beat that. You really can't.
No. As long as we're doing it safely. Obviously, you don't want the grizzly bear running and attacking you.
We did do sunset at Many Glacier.
Yes, that was the next day.
Yeah. Things I would have done differently while on that hike was definitely hiking sticks. I think I would have brought two more bottles of water. Like, not the, you know, the physical water bottles, but like, you know, a hydro flask.
I think I brought an extra one for you.
Yeah. I had my little, it wasn't little, it was a Eddie Bauer branded plastic container for water, which I found super useful. Definitely drank, I don't know, four water bottles worth of water on the way up and two on the way up. Would have definitely brought more snacks for the ride or the hike up. Definitely.
Yeah, on early morning hikes, this wasn't really an early morning hike, but we started early in the morning.
Yeah,
I don't really like eating a lot. I'm not a big breakfast person, so I didn't pack a lot, and I was fine.
Yeah, and then we got back to Many Glacier.
I had a big, like, double cheeseburger once we got back, though.
Yeah, I had fries and
classic Andrew Sweeney meal.
Yep. We'll get into that at some point.
That's what we got to add to this podcast is a fry rating scale.
Yeah, I do have to do that. I'll write a little blurb once we in the comments explaining that, or we'll go into it in more detail later on. I do recommend the Huckleberry soda out there. It was it's locally made.
Oh, yeah, I had it once. It was pretty good.
Yeah, it was very good. The rooms at Many Glacier we should go into. I had one facing the road. Still worth it.
I had one on the edge of one section of the hotel. So, like, one window I had was facing towards the other section of the hotel, and then the other window was facing the back side of the hotel, which is where the best view is. That overlooks what lake was that? One of the lakes.
I'm trying to look on the map here.
It Swift Current? I think it was Swift Current Lake.
Definitely sounds right. Yep. Sounds right.
And all the mountains in the background.
We did.
And then I had I didn't have a personal balcony, but I had like a public balcony right out my room door that I go to, and that overlooked everything.
Yeah, definitely worth it. Definitely the rooms were stuck in, I want to say the 50s, because they were old. They had keys, like physical keys instead of card, you know, like,
oh yeah, that was fun.
Yeah. They had it was like an alpine interior. The sink was right in front of the bed, essentially, towards the window. It was really cool. The lobby was excellent. Unreal.
My favorite little thing about this hotel and most of the hotels is they did all have like that one, like, Glacier National Park branded Huckleberry shampoo.
Yes, which you were determined to find at one of the shops.
And I finally got it on the last day.
Yep. Real struggle looking for that.
Oh, yeah.
The view outside on the public porch was really great too.
Yeah.
And then that led to our day five there, where we did, I don't remember the hike, but it was towards the end of the
Many Glacier. Red Rock Falls.
Yes. Saw a moose pretty close up and personal.
That was cool. That was Fisher Cap Lake, which allegedly moose just live there 24/7. So if you want to see a moose, go to Fisher Cap Lake and Glacier National Park.
Definitely. Got some great video of that. Very populated trail for families.
Yeah. And we also did hear most likely a grizzly bear just off the trail.
Yeah.
And then, like, the family in front of us was doing the thing where they, like, run in to the woods, and it's like, oh, God, don't do any sudden movements.
Yeah. Great tip is don't go near the wildlife. Do it from afar.
Yeah.
It's not worth it. It's just dumb to go near a wild animal.
I mean, it's worth it until you get mauled.
Yeah, don't
do it. Or someone else gets mauled.
Yeah. You're putting yourself in danger. Don't do it. What else did we see? We saw, what else, what other wildlife did you see at Glacier that really was on your bucket list? Because you had a whole list.
Like the one thing I saw a lot, like the one thing I was disappointed I didn't see was the mountain goats. Like one of the, it's, I think grizzly bears and mountain goats are the iconic animals of Glacier. And I saw tons of grizzlies. Like I lost count of how many grizzlies I saw, but did not see a single mountain goat.
Unfortunate.
And that's probably because we didn't spend enough time at Logan Pass. But I mean, I spent almost a half day there before you got there.
Yeah, no, we did stop at night, but you know, couldn't see anything.
Yeah, and then the other interesting animal I saw was the Colombian rock squirrels, which I thought they were prairie dogs because that's what they look like—prairie dogs—and they burrow and stuff. But yep. Apparently, they're not prairie dogs; they're called Colombian rock squirrels.
That's good to know. Some things like day five was our last full day in the park.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unfortunate. Things I would have liked to do while I was there next time. We were planning on staying at the Prince of Wales Hotel and on the Canadian side.
Yep.
But due
that
to
was, Waterton.
Waterton. Yep. Due to the pandemic, couldn't do that. The border opened a week after we left.
Yep.
Very, very sad. Iceberg Lake, would have liked to done that trail. Closed to bear activity.
Yeah, you and my mom really wanted to do that. And like that was, I think that's another strenuous hike.
Yeah.
To say it for you. I totally would have loved to do that too. But
yeah, you know, I haven't been able to travel in a very long time. So getting back into the rhythm things on this trip was a little tougher than normal.
Yeah. The one thing I was disappointed I didn't do, and like I knew going in we were never going to have time to do it, and we didn't have the reservations also, was doing a chalet hike.
Yep.
Which I just think that have been cool. But once again, that's like a 2-day thing. And like as an introduction to the park, it's kind of hard to do that. Just waste 2 days on one hike when you want to see the entire park.
There was also the Hidden Lake hike we wanted to do, correct, as well?
Yes, I actually did the first part of the Hidden Lake where you got up to, into the overlook.
Yeah.
But the hike down to the lake itself was closed off due once again to grizzly bear activity.
There were a lot of trails closed to bear activity.
Yeah, actually, back at Rising Sun Motor Inn, like after that bear ran across the parking lot, like a few days later, they closed off all the trails in that area.
Yep.
Because that bear apparently just kept on showing up.
Yeah. Yeah. I think one thing I took away from this park more than anything else is it's big. It's because we've been to a lot of parks. We've been all the way down to Dry Tortuga, the Everglades, you know, to Joshua Tree. We've been all over. This is one. This is a large park, and we only saw, you know, the more seen part of the park. You know, like McDonald, Logan Pass.
I'll be honest. Like, I just thought it was a big park going in. And like once I started traveling around it, I thought, I was like, well, it's not as big as I thought it was. Just being completely honest.
That's fair.
Obviously, we didn't get into the backcountry, but.
Yeah. And we also didn't get to the Canadian side, which is really unfortunate. That was our big trip for travel-wise, I think, for the summer. We did do a smaller trip, 3-day trip.
Yeah, to the D.C. area. That was back in June.
June, yeah, end of June.
Yep.
We went to Fort Washington Park.
Yep, and before that, attempted to go to Piscataway Park.
Yeah, couldn't find it.
But well, we did find part of it where they had like the boat launch. But I was like, oh, let's not stop here. We'll go find the actual main part of it. Couldn't find it.
Nope, couldn't find it. Got lost in the backwoods in some real narrow roads.
Yep.
But
they were nice. It was like a nice private area. Obviously a place we should not be in, but.
No, not part of the park. Or it was part of the park, but not really part of the park. We went to Fort Washington after that, and then we headed towards DC, where we went to one of our favorite restaurants.
Yes, Elephant and Castle.
Yes.
Classic DC institution, in my mind.
Yeah, we go there every time we're there. We've been there, what, 3 or 4 times together now?
Yeah, and then I've been a couple other times on other trips down to DC. But yeah, yep. They have a great beer selection. They always have soccer matches on. Good British pub fare.
Yep.
I like it.
Definitely our style of eatery.
Yeah. Which I didn't have the last time. Because I normally get fish and chips, one, to save that for the...
I don't know what you got.
The seafood.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got like a Caesar wrap I must have gotten.
Yeah, we ended up watching, I think, Spain lose that day. Or Spain win.
Oh, yeah, we went right in the middle of the Euros.
Yep. Yep. And then we went to the newest Nashville Memorials. Which were World War One National Memorial, right?
Yep, and then the Eisenhower.
Yep. Definitely worth checking out.
I'll be honest. I'm not a fan of the Eisenhower. Like, no. I'm starting to learn more about Eisenhower as president, and like I really admire him as president. But like the monument just comes across as like a poor man's FDR memorial. No offense.
Yeah.
And I love the FDR memorial. But this came off as like a really bad ripoff of it.
Yeah.
Whereas like the World War One memorial was much more interesting. Like it had a like cool use of water, had like multiple sections, like a much more expansive. And it was in like a great location. Like it was on like one side you have the White House, on the other the one day we went, they had a huge block party on the block right across from it.
Yep. And then we had we did the basin, as you know, as everyone does, is the National Memorial.
But we did sunset.
We did sunset at the basin. Definitely worth it. We got golden. Well, we didn't really get golden hour. It was more pink hour because there's a lot of pink skies that night looking over the Lincoln.
That's golden hour. Yeah. Really good shots of the sky over the Lincoln.
It was quite empty. We saw
the sun actually almost set right next to the Jefferson on the tidal basin.
Yep. And then the big question is it the Washington Monument? Wow. And the Lincoln Memorial. Which one would you choose? Because I know which one I would choose.
I think I'm going with the Washington Monument. Okay. Like, obviously, to get the full use of the Washington Monument, you actually have to do the tour where you go up to the top. Because you just get – that's the best view in D.C. You just get such expansive views. Like, the time we went, we actually – we're pretty sure we saw Donald Trump entering Marine One.
Yep.
from the top.
Yeah, believe it or not, that there is an elevator inside the Washington Monument. Then you get to see the donators' blocks that are facing inwards while taking the ride up.
Yeah, that was a cool bit of history there.
Yeah. I would choose the Lincoln Memorial because you get to see, the reflecting pool and the Washington Monument from the stairs. Oh, boy, I'm butchering it today.
That's certainly an iconic view.
Yeah, you can once we get our socials up, you can tweet us or send us a message on which one you would choose between the Washington Monument and the Lincoln Memorial. Where did we end up for dinner that night, Ryan?
It was Joe's Seafood steak and stone crab.
Did we think we were dressed appropriate for it?
No, I like kind of dressed up. And once we got in there, I was like, oh, no, this is like high class.
Yep. I showed up in a Hawaiian shirt and a nice pair of pants, and Ryan, went in the button down. We were feeling a little self-conscious until the man who sat across from in the dining hall sat down in a Bass Pro Shop t-shirt with cut off sleeves and a hat. So,
that was great. such a sigh of relief.
It was a sigh of relief. You had your first
crab cake.
Crab cake down there.
Which I technically still have to have a crab cake in Maryland because I had it in D.C.
Not Maryland.
Yeah, but it was really good. I was disappointed that they brought out the crab cake and my entree, which was the fish and chips, at the same time, because I had to I got to really eat this crab cake really fast.
Yeah, they did bring out the food kind of fast. Definitely a restaurant I would go again.
Oh, yeah. Also, that bread spread they brought out was amazing. They had jalapeno, cornbread.
Yeah, it was all over the place. It was
a whole bunch of other stuff.
Yep. And we stayed at a hotel in downtown D.C. where they had the road closed off for a bit because I think the president was rolling on through.
Yep.
Kind of cool.
Yep.
That was our first full day in D.C. We did leave after our jobs, I think, the day before, right?
Yeah, that's correct. And then we just stayed in east of D.C.
That's right.
The first night.
And our second full day, our last day was the Thomas Stone National Park.
Yeah, which, a little off the beaten path. That's also east of D.C.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's a beautiful area. Had some nice trails. I would have liked to do more, except for the fact when we got in the car, we discovered we were filled with ticks.
Yeah, lots of ticks. Definitely, a little park site that, you could stop in, you've been there, get the stamp, call it a day. And then we ended up at Valley Forge in Pennsylvania.
Which was my second time, your first time.
Correct. Definitely a fun area.
For sure. I just wish the visitor center was open because that's a cool visitor center.
Yeah, they just redid it recently, I believe. And then we stopped at the archway there. Did go down the wrong road at one point.
We did. That's a cool archway, though. I love that archway.
Yep.
We got some perfect monument to the revolution.
Someone wanted to do a hike there, but it was closed.
Oh, I'm so mad. I'm still mad about that. Because they reopened it a week later.
Yeah, we'll definitely have to go back on a future trip there. Yeah, we're getting to the end here. I wanted to recap a couple things. Definitely our top three parks. We're just going to do, Ryan's been to over 100 now, right?
Yeah, it's 130 or something like that.
I've been to just shy of 100, I think. I think in the mid-80s.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Park sites and stuff over the past 5 years. Brian, what are your top three favorite hikes in the national park?
Top three favorite hikes. Okay. Three, I think I'm going to go with one that unfortunately you have not been to. And that is Angel's Landing.
Oh, I really want to go. Park, yeah, I want to go so bad.
Which is a quite a scary but exhilarating hike because there's the final section of the hike. You're just on this chain going up this rock formation where it's just a drop off to the bottom floor on each side of you.
Terrifying.
But it's a very interesting desert environment. Maybe even more interesting than the desert environment of Joshua Tree, even though that actually has two different desert environments. So that's unique in its own way. But then once you're done doing this scary hike, you get to go down and then right at the bottom of the trail is the Virgin River. So you can just go and soak in right there.
Yep.
Two for me is probably Grinnell Glacier Trail.
Okay.
Like we just talked about. Mm-hmm. So I did really love that hike. And then finally, once again, unfortunately, you have not been to this one. Number one, my favorite hike of all time is the Sergeant Mountain Loop in Acadia National Park, which I think just has the best of everything that Acadia has to offer, which is the infamous Rung and Ladder trails that are so famous throughout the park. There's a section on the Sergeant Mountain Loop where it has rungs and ladders. It has the like kind of like coastal alpine zone where you just get expansive views of the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
It has great views of sunset if you want to go later in the day.
Okay.
And then going on this like tough hike where you hit not one but two summits. In between these two summits, there's a nice pond you can go and swim in and cool yourself off. So it has everything possible that you'd want to enjoy in Acadia National Park. It's my favorite hike.
Fantastic. I think my top three are a little different. Definitely number one, Grinnell Glacier.
Wow. Okay, that's cool.
Yep. It was a rewarding hike. Definitely, for sure. The views were unreal. My next one I'm doing or are going to choose is number two is definitely the Dry Tortuga Loop.
Okay.
Crystal clear blue water. Definitely enjoyed that.
Yeah. It's a little short for me to be memorable as a hike, but I love that national park. Once again, those crystal blue waters are unbelievable and, a great place to go snorkeling for sure.
And then three is not, I don't know if you consider it a hike, but I enjoyed our time in the Everglades doing those little stop offs.
Which one? Because we did like.
The one with the birds. Do you know which one I'm talking about?
Yes. Yep. Hey, this is actually a pretty famous trail. It's called the Anhinga Trail.
Yep.
That's a good choice.
Yeah. Really like that one.
Yeah. That was cool because it has so much wildlife on that trail. We saw the anhingas, we saw herons and egrets,
so
alligators like right next to us.
Yep, and then we saw a guy's car getting eaten to shreds, all the rubber off of it because of the birds.
And they were going after my rental car, even though we put the tarp on it.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, good choice.
Yeah. But that's it for this podcast episode. We'll definitely have more episodes of Parkmanship on the way, but we just want to get a quick podcast in on our summer recap.
Yeah, it was a definitely a fun summer, a park filled summer.
Yep, after being cooped up in the house after the pandemic,
for sure, very very much needed after what was a crazy year beforehand.
Yeah. Once again, I'm Andrew.
I'm Ryan.
And this was Parkmanship.